Michigan Rundown Podcast.
Walton, Chapman, hoist a three. Michigan wins!
At midcourt, extra pass.
And it goes for the win!
Presented by Jake Singer.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Michigan Rundown Podcast. My name is Jake Singer, and on today's episode, I will be discussing the heartbreaking loss that the Michigan baseball team just had against the Louisville Cardinals in the final game of the Louisville Regional in the NCAA baseball tournament. Now look, before I get into what happened today, what happened yesterday, and in the regional, let's not forget that Michigan was playing on borrowed time. The Michigan baseball team was not supposed to even make it to the NCAA tournament. And yet, with a miraculous run in the Big Ten tournament, defeating all top four seeds in Maryland, Rutgers, Iowa, and Purdue, Michigan got a bid for the NCAA tournament by winning the conference tournament. Behind Michigan coach Eric Bakich and his star hitters in Clark Elliott, who plays right field, center fielder Joe Stewart, and even third baseman Matt Fry, who had an insane emergence in both the Big Ten and NCAA tournament, Coach Bakich was very confident in this team, and although they were a three seed in their regional, they came to play. In the first two games of the regional, Michigan won both against Oregon and top-seeded Louisville to go up 2-0 in the regional and would have to lose twice in 2 days to not make it to Texas A&M next weekend. Now, after beating Oregon and Louisville, it became pretty apparent that Bakich was out of pitching. Bakich had used all of his pitchers in the first two games to try to gamble and sacrifice for those wins. And it paid off originally by using all three starters in the first game in Connor O'Halloran, Chase Allen, and Cameron Weston. And then in the second game yesterday, in two days ago, he used two of those starters again in Cameron Weston and Chase Allen, and then used his top three relief pitchers, Noah Renard, Jacob Denner, and Walker Cleveland. Although Michigan won the first two games, the problem with using all your top pitchers in those two games is that they can't pitch in three consecutive days. It's just not physically possible. Coming from a baseball player and a baseball pitcher in myself, once you pitch one game, even at most two games in a row in 2 days, you cannot pitch a third. So because of that, Bakich had to rest all of his top pitchers for yesterday's game against Louisville in the first rematch. This, however, though, did not go to plan, as Bakich was hoping that his offense would come alive. This said, Michigan had three total hits in yesterday's game against Louisville and scored just one run. On the flip side, Louisville pieced off of Michigan's bottom relief pitchers, so to speak, scoring 20 runs and winning 20-1 in the third game of the regional, forcing a final game today, Monday. Now, there's a lot to be said about the strategy. Some would say, hey, it worked. I mean, they won the first two games against Oregon and Louisville, the two games they needed to win. And if they had not won either of those games, they would have been eliminated yesterday. This said, by going down 20-1, what you're doing is you're giving a Louisville team who had just lost to you the day before a lot of confidence and a lot of momentum going into a winner-take-all game like today's game was. And you saw that immediately in the first inning of the winner-take-all game today, Monday. When Michigan played Louisville today, they did get on the board first, scoring two runs in the top of the first inning. However, Louisville responded with a bang, scoring seven runs in the first inning off of Michigan Friday night starter Connor O'Halloran. Some could say Connor O'Halloran did not look like himself. You know, he was pitching on 2 days rest when he's normally pitching on 7 days rest. He was being asked a lot out of Bakich to go back right out there and put up zeros against a really powerful and offensively minded Louisville team. It was very clear from the get-go that Louisville does not necessarily care about their pitchers as much as their hitters. Just like Michigan, they know they can score 15 runs, 20 runs a game to go up and win. So because of that, they prioritize their offense rather than their defense. And just because they go down 3-4 runs does not mean they're out of the game. Now, when Michigan was down 7-2 in the third inning, a lot looked like Louisville was going to run away with this game just like they did yesterday. And then something interesting happened. A rain delay forced a 90-minute delay, sending both teams to the locker room. Now, if you know anything about baseball, rain delays are, first of all, very annoying. You have all this momentum, you're stretched, you're ready to play, and then all of a sudden the rain is forcing you to go inside and sit. And what happens when you sit? You get stiff, you aren't rested, you don't have the blood pumping like you did when you have the adrenaline going, just a lot stops. And what usually a rain delay does in a baseball game is it heavily benefits the team that's losing, if a team is losing at that point. And that's exactly what happened. Michigan, due to the 90-minute delay, was able to rest all of its guys and force the Louisville pitcher to leave the game, who was giving them a lot of trouble, and had to force a bullpen game out of both sides. Now, Louisville, who usually has a very strong bullpen, had used up all of its guys in its first four games. Remember, they played a fifth game today, one more than Michigan had due to losing before Michigan did. So because of this, Louisville's bullpen was really depleted, just like Michigan's was yesterday on Sunday. So when they came out in the fourth inning, Michigan exploded. They came out and scored four runs to tie the game 7-7 by the fifth inning. And just like that, it was a brand new ball game. In the sixth inning, Michigan scored another run off of a Ted Burton home run to make it 8-7. And just like that, in the sixth inning, just two innings ago, everyone was sitting in their dugouts with a very comfortable 5-run lead for Louisville. Michigan looks like they're going to run away with this game and go to Texas A&M in a huge, stunning upset. Next inning, seventh inning, Michigan tacks on another run, making it 9-7, a 2-run lead that looked like it could hold. Michigan put in Cameron Weston and sat their Saturday starter, who actually looked phenomenal. Cameron Weston has had a very up-and-down year. He has just above a 4 ERA for the season, but it actually looked like Cameron Weston was a completely different pitcher, actually a pitcher that everyone expected him to be at the beginning of the season due to his performances last season. Just a little bit of background on him, Cameron Weston could have gone to the MLB draft last year and probably would have gotten drafted. But he decided to bet on himself, come back to Michigan, and try to get an even higher draft pick. Unfortunately for him, he hasn't had the greatest season, and it looked to be he was going to have to at least come back next year and definitely would not have been drafted after this season. But Cameron Weston pitched three innings and was phenomenal. Put zeros up on the board in the 6th, 7th, and 8th, and it was looking like it could be Michigan's game to win. But in the bottom of the 8th inning, something really weird happened. Just like the rain delay, the game was full of weird things. Just to set the scene for you, Louisville had a guy on first base with two outs in the bottom of the 8th inning. They were at bat. The Louisville batter hits a ball that looked like to be a home run. So as the batter was bat flipping and trotting around the bases, it hit off the wall and it stayed in the park. Jordan Rogers, who was just put in at left field for a substitution for Joey Velasquez, got the ball and threw it to shortstop Riley Bertram. At this point, the runner on first base was originally, trotting on the bases too, could only make it to third base once it got to the infield. So the guy on first gets to third, and Riley Bertram, the shortstop for Michigan, throws it to the second base because the guy who had hit the ball was, gloating, trotting around, wasn't really running that hard. Ted Burton, second baseman for Michigan, tags the Louisville base runner, and it appeared to be out. Now, the umpire originally called him safe, but with replay, everyone, including the announcers, saw that he was clearly out. The base runner's hand had flipped up. You saw his fingers flex backward, and you even saw Ted Burton's glove move in an awkward direction that only makes that movement when it reaches impact. After a five-minute review, the umpires come out of the review. When everyone thought it was going to be out, they ruled him safe since that was a call on the field. They could not find indisputable evidence. Now, just to defend the umpires for one little moment, the video quality wasn't great. And the only thing we had to base it off of was the movement of the hand and the glove after impact. That said, there is no possible way a hand and the glove could make that movement without the glove touching that hand, forcing the runner to be out. And in turn, the inning would have been over. But unfortunately for Michigan, they ruled him safe. And because of this, with two outs and runners on first and third, Michigan just, they couldn't catch that break, and things went downhill from there. The next batter hit a two-run single that caused Louisville to tie the game 9-9. And then with a runner on first base, the next Louisville batter hits a two-run home run in the biggest dramatic, gloating, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, fashion. He made a big thing out of it, big bat flip. The camera didn't even show the home run because they was focused in on the Louisville batter. It was heartbreaking for Michigan. It was heartbreaking for Michigan fans. It was heartbreaking for Michigan players, Michigan families, just everybody who had anything invested on this Michigan team. That was the season. It was the bottom of the eighth inning with the two-run lead, and because of a botched call at second base, whatever you want to call it, Michigan's season was all to be over. Michigan had one last chance in the ninth inning, and they started the inning off with a Joe Stewart double. Just like that, Michigan had life again. They needed their top bats in the lineup just after Stewart to come up clutch again, which they've been asked to do all postseason long, and they had been. Earlier in the game, both Matt Fry, third baseman for Michigan, and Jimmy Overtop, the catcher, both hit home runs. And after Joe Stewart's double, both were up at bat. Matt Fry grounds out to the second baseman, advancing Joe Stewart to third base. Jimmy Overtop, in a 3-2 count, strikes out, hitting for the fences. And finally, Tito Flores hit a really well opposite field ball, but was caught on the warning track, ultimately ending the Michigan baseball season. Now, as someone who has had to be impartial all year long, I can finally say it was heartbreaking. There's no other word to describe it. I have watched this team through and through. I've seen every home away game. I've written articles on every player essentially that has played this season. I've interviewed pretty much every player that has played this season, and especially Coach Eric Backich and I have built a pretty strong relationship with one another. And it's really sad that they ended it this way. And if you want to look at the fine line, they weren't supposed to be there at all. You know, as Matt Fry said a little earlier in an interview, they are playing on borrowed time. A lot of these guys are. Borrowed time as a team, and a lot of the players individually are playing on borrowed time as graduate transfers and seniors and players who didn't think they were going to ever play college baseball again during the COVID pandemic. So because of that, the players will walk away with this with something like that in mind, but it's obvious that the team ended in a very heartbreaking fashion, and they're back to square one. There's a lot of holes on this team now, both. So just from what I know, right fielder Clark Elliott's going to go to the draft. Center fielder Joe Stewart will probably go to the draft, as well as third baseman Matt Fry. You also have shortstop senior Riley Bertram. Whether he goes to the draft or just graduates is up to him, but he won't be on the team next year as well. You have pitchers, pitcher Cameron Weston, of all of them, will probably go to the draft because both Connor O'Halloran and Chase Allen, who are also starters, are both sophomores and cannot go yet anyway, so they will be back on the team. Aside from that, a few other pitchers like Walker Cleveland, Jack White, seniors, graduated, they're done. So there's a lot of holes on this team. Backer is probably going to have to go to the transfer portal again. He's going to have to really look at his recruits, and it'll be very interesting to see what he does going forward. But in all, it was a miraculous end to the season. Unfortunately, Michigan could not make it out of this game when they really had a strong chance to. And they're going to have to set their sights on the next season and see what happens from here. I mean, this said, this definitely helps with recruiting. Don't get me wrong. This season helps with Michigan fandom, the amount of people that were texting me about the Michigan baseball team that I had not heard from all season long, probably didn't know a single player's name, and they were following this game today. You know, it was great to see the camaraderie and the family-oriented style of the Michigan fan base that we all know and love. But unfortunately, it just ended in a way that what didn't go Michigan's favor, and with that, everyone's just going to have to live with the consequences. So thank you all for listening. I have plenty of articles on this team. I'll continue to write over the summer. So please, please, please check that out at Jake Singer at the Michigan Daily. You can just look it up on Google. And please follow me on Twitter also at JMSING94, JMSING94, with many more updates to come, whether it's baseball, women's basketball. I'm covering football in the fall for the Associated Press. I'll be doing baseball again in the spring for the radio station. I am all around Michigan sports. I'm the person to go to for any question whatsoever. So please, please, please feel free to reach out to me. But with that, thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it. And I'm just going to leave it with a go blue. Thank you.